The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 18th of October, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Joining me in studio this morning for a shortened version of the Man Down Mashup Wednesday session, where we blend on the clock and Guardian Radio AM, is Mr. C.A. Newry. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good yawning this morning?
Absolutely.
Can I use that or that's yours?
You could use it. In fact, let me say you could use it because I took that phrase from the one and only Anku Sarah and Thoughtcatcher Presents. That's a catchphrase from the Spot 242.
Oh, so it's not copywritten anything?
It is copywritten.
Because you know I was going
to
say
because I have to get permission to use it.
But kudos to Anku Sarah.
Yes.
The actor, the pastor, the activist.
The teacher.
The teacher, right? And I just say good morning to him and his wife and his... There's so much children here. He was about 12 now. About 12.
He's the kind of man, he don't draw a circle just around his immediate family. Mm. He draws a circle around...
The whole village?
The whole village.
Good.
That's the movie 10,000 BC.
Ah!
The quote from that movie.
Yes. Yawning this morning, yes.
Absolutely. And then we have to say good morning to Jorge and Sebastian.
I almost forget. And thanks very much. Jorge and Sebastian, Aaron and I met recently.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
And is it Delilah? Remember the pot cake that they adopted?
It was a Spanish name dog.
But it was a girl.
It was a girl dog.
Yeah.
I soon get to meet them.
Beautiful pot cake. So we want to say good morning to Jorge and Sebastian, avid listeners. They live and work in the Bahamas.
Yes. And they are Mexicans living and working in the Bahamas.
And they've adopted a number of...
Royal Bahamian dogs.
Royal Bahamian pot cakes.
Yes.
Yeah. Lovely, lovely, lovely men. And you could tell... by the way that their animals interact with strangers.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You could tell that they have beautiful energy.
And what was impressive is that they listen to Guardian Radio avidly on the show, who comes on at 6 in the morning and who finishes at 4, and what they like about the show. They go in detail.
Yeah.
So it's very impressive to know that expats listen avidly to the station, and they got excited to see and meet Erin Green. Is Erin Green here?
So that ain't it, what they say.
They got excited.
Is it you, C.A.
Newry? They said that too.
Yeah.
They couldn't believe. You sound sensible on the radio, didn't you?
Anyway, it was a great meeting them. And what a surprise. I want to say good morning. Just a quick good morning. And thank you to all the people that came out and supported the Hannah Hasty Tynes Grill and Chill fundraiser in the rain. And I have, Mr. Newry, I learned something. I was yesterday years old when I learned something very important for people living in the Bahamas. You know, in the weather report, when they say, like, it's 10% chance of rain, 20% chance of rain, and you think, okay, it's very, very likely it's not going to rain on our event, right? Because there's only a 10% chance that it will rain. That's not what that means at all. When it says there's 40% chance of rain, like it did for Sunday's forecast, it means that 40% of the geographic location identified will experience rain in that time period. So if you're looking at your weather, like the daily, the day forecast, and it says at 1 p.m., there'll be 10%, 3 p.m., 20%, 6 p.m., 40%, that means that 10% of the geographic location will experience rain. And so we want to say thank you to all of the people who came out in the rain to support the event and to support family, because it rained on Sunday. It was plenty, plenty rain. But it was beautiful. And it brought in our first cold front of the year, which we are all grateful.
I was getting used to warm fronts. That cold front I don't like.
You just like paying electricity bill?
Yes.
because you know ACs was off last mm-hmm. night. Mm-hmm. All parents look at all children and tell them, no need for AC tonight, babies. Throw that big heavy cover on the ground and sleep with your blanket. But I know we're all grateful that the weather has shifted. It's a lot cooler. And although the rain can be very problematic, we are thankful for it. We know that the trees need it, nature needs it, and we know that the ocean needs it. We need to cool down the waters because we are still not out of hurricane season yet. Just another quick note, I need to ask, where are the detour and roadwork signs? Who stole all the detour and roadwork signs? I will continue to cry out with concern at the degradation of systems and protocols in the country. This is a very, very basic system, very basic protocols that should not for state agencies and subcontractors to follow. Yet it appears as if since the tragic Munnings Road traffic fatality, where it was clearly stated that the road was not properly set up, the proper lights were not in place, the proper signage was not in place. It appears that since that tragic event, no one has taken the matter seriously enough to ensure that the proper protocols are followed for detours and roadworks. Now, I know there are a lot of people who are working under extremely stressed conditions. They're forced to go to work without the proper tools, without the proper resources, without the proper management. They themselves need traffic management teams to protect them and the integrity of the service that they are providing. And so I could imagine that they are frustrated. But it does not mean that you should just give up and say, well, it is what it is. If you're conducting roadworks, you're required to put up signage indicating that they are roadworks. Not on top of the hole that you're working in, but a reasonable distance away so people can, now the roadworks, understanding where they can detour. These are very basic and simple things. Traveling through Bay Street over the last month plus, it's constant. Constant backups. Road works taking place both on Shirley Street and Bay Street. No signage. No road closure. You know, when you close one lane and you slowly merge traffic, nothing. And I'm sure there are about seven people saying right now, Miss Green, you live in Nassau, you know the road dig up. You know where you can't go and where you can go. And I want to say to you, forget me, because I am a nobody. I ain't no one. Focus on tourism, that thing that we're forced to dedicate and commit all our resources to. You invite thousands and thousands of people here every year. Some of those people hire rental cars. Some of those people hire rental jeeps to take out on their own. They have no idea what's going on in New Providence until they fall in the hole. These are very basic protocols. I don't understand why I, as a citizen, are constantly called to celebrate mediocrity. You want me to celebrate you as a government? You want me to sit up and smile and rub shoulders and throw out silly rhetoric? And you know you're failing. You know you're refusing to deliver the standard that is required. We're getting tired of it. These are very basic protocols. We're not asking you to solve the crisis in Haiti. We're not asking you to solve the climate change. We're asking you to ensure that there are proper road signs and detour signs to prevent citizens from experiencing unnecessary inconvenience. In fact, it's as if you don't understand how economies work. They require the effective, efficient movement of goods, people, and services. And I want to say to the team of men who were working last night on Meeting Street, we appreciate that you work off hours, making traveling the road during the day easier for us. We appreciate that you're away from your home, from your family, your loved ones in the night, contending with reckless and drunk drivers, which is why you should also appreciate why I am demanding that you all start adhering to the proper protocols. Imagine coming off Nassau Street, turning onto Meeting Street to discover that the road is blocked. If there were a detour sign, I could have continued along Nassau Street to Bay Street and made my way east from there. It's so simple. And people are getting paid real money. Unions are demanding that their members get paid to international standards. But all y'all are giving us is 1945 service. Be tired of it, please. Minister of Works, it's too early in your tenure for me to be calling for your resignation. It's very close. Since there's a shift in ministers, probably has nothing to do with you yourself. But hey, the buck stops with you. And so, we're going to just have to call for your resignation until you get it right. It's the most basic, the most basic of things. And on that note, I just want to ask Bahamians, do you think that us taxpayers are paying out thousands and thousands of dollars to build sidewalks for you to park your car on? Is that what you all think is happening? Do you think we build sidewalks for people to park their car on? I just want to throw that out there. Also, last note, Mr. Newry, then we can jump right into the topic. Who has this number 10 bus parked on Ghost Slow Bend by Harbor Bay? There's a number 10 bus parked opposite Wild Thyme restaurant on East Bay Street. That's one of the most dangerous curves in New Providence. How do I know that? One night I witnessed a man kill himself on that curve. One night after being pushed to the side of the road by speeding vehicles, we witnessed a man hit that wall. Brothers speed past him because they were racing. And then we witnessed his brother spin back around to find out what happened to the car that should have been trailing him. I watched somebody die there. And I'm simply asking y'all to find somewhere else to park your bus. It makes no sense. Perhaps you can build a relationship with the major corporate building just to the east of the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza. You could park your bus there when necessary. Stop endangering our lives. It's a very simple thing. All right, gentlemen, thank you for that moment. I needed to get that off my chest. There's lots to talk about today. I wanted to take a look at these couple of articles. Bishop Boyd, take VAT off breadbasket items. I wanted to ask the question, is the bishop out of order? What is the role of the church in the state? Is there a difference between the bishop's statement and the recent statement from the Bahamas Christian Council about Hubie hosting a pride event? Does the church have a duty to advocate for the poor, the vulnerable, and the needy? We start there with those questions. I'm going to get into the article quickly. In charge of the 120th session of the Anglican Synod at Christ Church Cathedral in Nassau last night, Anglican Bishop Leish Boyd highlighted the high cost of living confronting Bahamians and appealed for value-added tax to be removed from breadbasket items. In early 2022, the Davis administration fulfilled a key campaign promise when it lowered VAT from 12% to 10%. However, it also placed VAT on previously zero-rated breadbasket items, which was not a campaign promise. Quote, the cost of living has increased tremendously all over the world since COVID-19 hit, Boyd noted last night. Our islands feel this sting acutely. I wish to thank the government for all of its efforts. I recognize that the Bahamas is a relatively less taxed jurisdiction when compared to the rest of the world. However, I wish to repeat something that I have said before. That is, the value-added tax is an unfair tax because it places upon all who seek goods and services a burden, which the less well-off find harder to bear. Other issues tackled included climate change, corruption and dishonesty, the state of the youth, and marital rape. Bishop Boyd said, I wish to repeat my wholehearted support for the proposed amendments to the Sexual Offenses Act so that wherever rape occurs, it will be called rape. This movement is not designed to entrap anyone. However, like all laws, it is designed to provide protection where needed, where persons may be abused or vulnerable. In a relationship that is wholesome and balanced, such a law will not be necessary. However, we know that there are relationships where there is not equality or mutual respect, and where St. Paul's injunction to husbands and wives in Ephesians 5 is not followed. It is a mistake to present this matter as an attack on men or an attempt to rob husbands or wives of their conjugal rights or an attempt to intrude into the marriage bed or an attempt to give weapon to use against men or women. No, it is none of these, and discussion along these lines only clouds the real and germane issue, which is that there are persons who need the protection of the law. Your spouse or your partner may not need it, but there are some that do. Remember, laws are not devised for just and loving situations, but for times and places where injustice abounds and the vulnerable and abused and or disadvantaged. The Davis administration drafted a marital rape bill. At last reports, it was out for consultation. So I throw on the table to the panelists and to the audience, is the bishop out of order? Numbers to call 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for people in the Bahamas, New Providence, and of course our text line 422-GR96, 422-4796. Gentlemen, Mr. Newry, is the church out of order?
Did we mention that Ian here today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was distracted. The
Johnny Cake Man?
The Johnny Cake Man.
Mama.
Who don't bring Johnny Cake? Yeah. I know for a couple of days now, Dwight been asking for weeks now. Dwight been asking for Johnny Cake. He didn't get it yet.
We don't want people to sleep. We want us to be up and up.
Okay. Okay. So this is my point. Only one church seems to have access to Parliament in terms of the opening of Parliament in general and then Synod, right? There's that, the Anglican Church, and then there is the Christian Council. And it seems as if the bishop is able to now take advantage and preach directly or have the audience, a large national audience, to speak out on national issues and of course, cause a ruckus or a response, a national response. So, yes, I don't think he's out of order. I think he just took advantage of his ability to critique at this present time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my opinion is that he is a Bahamian citizen, so he has the right to his opinion. It's an opinion.
Mm-hmm. You think it's just an opinion?
It's his opinion. I mean, it's his personal opinion, whether it's right or it's wrong. He has the right to comment on certain things that affect resides over.
Mm-hmm. As a bishop, though, okay, so juxtapose that to the Christian Council. The Christian Council includes representatives from churches, right? And I don't think the Christian Council necessarily offers its own personal opinion, but should offer an opinion derived from some of the bodies in the group. You think in the same way Bishop Boyd is expressing his own personal opinion, or he's expressing an opinion, a statement, a position derived through talking to and engaging members of the congregation he represents?
I love that question. And I do not know the answer for it. However, Bishop Leitch Boyd speaks for the whole Anglican community by reason of position.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that he got the mandate from his parishioners to say, this is where we think, and then he conclude and say, this is what I'm going to express. I'm not suggesting that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But when he does speak, he speaks with authority, and everyone else yield.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you are suggesting is that, or questioning, whether he spoke to his fellow bishops, right, the caucus, or a fellow, the collective of priests, whatever that is, and did they all agree on to what he is saying.
Mm-hmm.
But usually they too are surprised at the speech of the bishop, and then they take notes, and then it gets disseminated, and then they respond to that in kind.
Absolutely.
So I don't think that it's a consensus.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's his personal view, but he speaks on behalf of the Anglican body.
There is a saying, he who feels it knows it. So I'm of the opinion that as a Bahamian, we all know what is affecting the masses of the people in a sense, in regards to the daily living, how we living as a people. So people are going to express how they feel. I mean, look at the minimum wages. The minimum wage in the country is $265. Anybody that goes within a grocery shop, whether there's price gouging or something that's happening, you can buy a bag of grocery and that will probably accumulate to about $180 or $200. So the average makes $265 and goes home to their families to just provide just the basic things. Even what they purchase is going to be based on their salary. So we're looking at them purchasing the things like noodles, which may be unhealthy, hot dog, noodles, certain things like that, which we know that their monies can stretch to buy. And if the Bahamians are experiencing this at the low level, we can't just look at the people at the top who can afford to survive or support themselves to eat a certain way. We look at the least amongst of our country, that's even within crime. We have to then target the places that we know that are affected so much, like the prison. We know that most of the things that happen, either whether those criminals become habitual criminals or these persons in the ruckus from within the jail cells onto the streets of the Bahamas. So we have to look at what's affecting the average man. And the average man, $265 can't work for him, not based on the cost of what living is. And if you buy a fast food takeout, it's ridiculous with the prices as it goes up. I don't know if somebody's just closing their eyes and coming up with the figures. But potato salad, just a scoop, is maybe $4 to a restaurant, hypothetically, a regular mom and pop's restaurant. So, I'm just saying, it's just... He can speak on based on what he sees and what he feels.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask, does the church have a duty to advocate for the poor, the vulnerable, and the needy? And is this statement, the first half of the statement in particular, about VAT, and he does speak to income tax, is that the bishop fulfilling the role of the church?
Another interesting question. Mm-hmm. I would assume that he got advice from the experts within the church to give this statement, mm-hmm. particularly when it regards VAT and in mm-hmm. contrast to income tax, mm-hmm. which one is better for the Bahamas, and how will income tax impact poor people in contrast mm-hmm. to VAT in general. So I'm assuming that he did that before he spoke.
Absolutely. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Blessings to you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
True, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, caller, let me respond to that and then have Aaron respond to that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure which church this good gentleman goes to attend. But my church, on top of the hill, Fox Hill, St. Anne's Church, we feed the poor, right? We give donation. I can actually attest that every Anglican church of a soup kitchen that they serve, I can attest that numerous Church of God, jumper churches, and even these apostolic churches. What the bishop, singing bishop type church name?
Apostolic?
That's apostolic church.
Apostolic.
Yes, apostolic. They feed...
Thousands.
Yeah. So I hear your critique, but that critique is not necessarily fair because the church feeds. Right. And then you should become a member of a church and then help feed because the church is a people and by extension, the Bahamian. And you're saying Bahamians don't help. And that's not true. We do help.
Right. I think the critique is unfair in the sense that you're looking at a small segment of the Christian community. Right. It may be a fair critique of a small segment of the Christian community. My critique is that the efforts of the church are wasted in poor organization. Okay. And even the church needs to move away from a charity mindset and shift to a structural reform mindset, right? The donations, the tithes, all of it, it's a valuable contribution. It is my relationship with God. We're not trivializing it. Mm-hmm. People give because of an obligation to God, right? Bang. The Anglican Church in particular has, and Roman Catholic, all the churches, the membership, they're mm-hmm. the people, mm-hmm. professionals throughout the congregations, people mm-hmm. who are leaders in their industries, particularly banking, economics, finance. I think it's like this from the Christian Council to devise more sustainable mechanisms mm. to support community members. So the soup kitchens are excellent, but we shouldn't be relying on donations to fill the pantry. We should be developing mechanisms to generate income. The church should have a farm.
But the gentleman said the church not should be in business at all. They must be in saving souls.
It's not that type of business. The church should have a farm.
Yeah, some churches that have already started the initiative
right?
of
and
having the farm.
Church members can organize to work the farm. There are retirees who want something to do and want to be a part of something real, something that will support them and give back to them, right? The church should be, the Anglican Church by now, should have a housing complex to offer emergency housing. That's like, I need some place to stay tonight with these children. To temporary housing, which is, I'm on a work program, I don't get my first paycheck.
Mind you, the Anglican Church has that. But, right? And then I know that Life Changes Church, I think that's on Bacardi Road, they have a farm, or about to
right.
do a farm.
Right.
They cut out the land, and that's their goal and objective, to do the farm.
Right.
And a feed bus.
And now they have a feed bus. So I hear the ideas, and these ideas are wonderful, what you're saying.
Yeah.
But perhaps they just need a brainstorming that you could give new ideas and force a new thought. But they have these things.
And help churches to apply the model at their scale.
Yes.
Right? That's what it is. The model is there. How do I, as a church leader, then pick elements from your successful model, say like the Anglican Church. I'm a smaller church. I see the Anglican Church doing big things, great things. How do I begin implementing parts of that program in my church, right, to shift the way that we operate in the community?
I think we operate a lot of times by ourselves or by our churches, right? When it's like a country, if it's going to work, it's going to work with all of us within it. It's like we have business people that are in our country that on the backs of the country that have made hundreds of millions of dollars. But when we look at the impact of what they have done within our society, next to none. We look at how the wealth has been made here, but how are they actually helping within the communities? Mm-hmm. The government has a responsibility, but we also as citizens have a responsibility also. The same fashion is with the churches. If the churches most of the times do their separate things, if you serve in one triumph God and we all mean the same thing, it should be that we should be able to get together as a body of people to structurally put certain mechanism in place that it makes more sense. Mm-hmm. We have persons that fly in here from different countries. Let's use the Chinese as illustration. The Chinese come within the Bahamas or other countries. They have a 50-year plan within your own country, 50-year. Mm-hmm. I've seen now riding on Robinson Road, there is a building that has been renovated and repaved, and it's called Chinatown within our communities. And every stop we go in, we have about...
Is this a nice building going inside yet?
My point is, we riding on Robinson Road, East Street, anywhere we go, you have... I don't know who's giving out these liquor licenses.
Who giving out liquor license
period.
To everybody?
But I'm saying to you, it's not everybody. No. They have the majority of licenses based on what I can see. Mm-hmm. I'm riding on the city of Nassau.
The Bahamians, man.
No. Yes. I'm writing the city of Nassau and the province, right? And I'm looking and seeing Chinese business oriented.
Yeah, but they Chinese
operation.
They Bahamians.
No.
You a city passport?
No. My thing is that
the business you're talking about. The Bahamians own the business.
Lucky.
Who is lucky?
No, lucky. You don't live on
these streets. These are Bahamians.
Listen, Aaron.
They are still nationally, they are Bahamians. Politically, they are Bahamians.
Aaron, there has to be some level of restrictions. There has to be a moratorium.
Hold on, pause. You can apply those restrictions to resolve the problem without targeting a particular ethnic group. And that's just the issue, right? There's an issue. My concern is that with the proliferation of liquor stores, there's so many liquor stores popping up within the restricted zones near schools.
Don't go there.
Pause. What I'm saying is, I'm not looking at any particular ethnicity. What I'm saying is, let us implement protocols that prevent this without having to target an ethnicity.
Not a problem, but let's look at the people that are operating these particular businesses, right? We would say that they are not
Bahamianese or Bahamian?
But they're Bahamian.
Residents? Or what are they?
They're Bahamian citizens. They have a passport.
Oh, they have a passport, a Bahamian passport.
Yeah, they're citizens.
So tell me who has the right to open up liquor and food right opposite
Bahamians.
The school.
Pause. That's the problem. The problem isn't that it's descent or ethnically Chinese Bahamians. The problem isn't that they have a lot of liquor stores. The problem is that it appears that there's no protocol regulating the locations of liquor stores. And we have liquor stores appearing in zones that are restricted close to schools.
And churches.
That's the problem. Let's not target a particular ethnic group. Now, we can acknowledge that maybe the larger percentage of liquor stores are owned by Chinese, but the law requires them to be Bahamians, and they just happen to be of Chinese descent. It's important to make that distinction. There is certainly a problem. When we investigate why are so many liquor stores being authorized, right? Why are they being allowed to open in these locations? Mm-hmm. Then maybe we find something else. But at this point, let's not target a particular ethnic group.
Well, I read the sign that says, well,
Caller, we
China
coming
down.
To you in a moment.
Yeah. We are now dealing business and importing and exporting with the major producer of the world.
That's economic culture. Let's take a look at it. Mm-hmm. When you hear Chinatown, you know what you hear? Low prices,
yeah.
A wide variety of products to choose from a wide variety of jurisdictions.
Without U.S. taxes.
That's an economic catchphrase. Mm-hmm. When I hear Chinatown, that means my money long. Mm-hmm. It can buy plenty of things. Not necessarily a Chinatown like this is where all the Chinese people live.
Now, if you want to talk about when I go to the restaurant on a Sunday and I can't get no Chinese rice because they sell only liquor, we can talk about that. That's a different thing.
Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning, morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jeff. Right. I would like to say I agree with Jeff.
Boy, you know, I agree with Jeff.
There are too many churches opening up. That's what Jeff is saying, right? And they're popping up everywhere. Right next to my favorite bar, they pop up a church. The government needs to be guarded with the church licenses they're allowing to open up on Carmichael Road. Carmichael Road full of churches.
Listen,
y'all gonna have 52 call you all in a minute.
What an awesome point you made, Mr. Nuri. I hate to say it. I don't hate to say it. That's hilarious. But that's a great point. Was the liquor store there first?
It was there.
Was the liquor store there first?
The church is popping up.
And what accommodations are we making, like, in this communal space, right? What accommodations are made? If the liquor store was there first, is it required to shut down because the church has opened up? Is the town planning authorized to tell the church, you can't open up here because there's a liquor store already existing here? And then the next thing was, I swear you was going to say, but what are you going to do if the communion wine run out? See, I could send you Johnny across the road to get some port to put in the cup. Mm-hmm. I see we got a caller coming on the line, some text. Aaron, I think the good bishop can help by stop taking offering each week and give members $1,000 check each week. Don't put that, why would you say that? Anyway, I forget just now. You know, the bishop is my cousin, so I got caught up in a familial thing. Mm-hmm. I say, he have $1,000 to give people. I should go call him.
That's Central Bank.
Let me give this.
Let's go to call.
Good morning, caller. Morning, how you do? I hear you.
Good morning to you. Blessings.
Mr. Munnings.
Morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they've been having church long time on Montague Beach. They put a structure up, or did they go under the gazebo? Okay. Oh boy, wow. This is excitement. Now look here. Yeah. I feel you. What? Look here, what a conundrum. Thank you very much. Like, this is excellent because we got to share the space. And I can be honest with you, church is church, right? Like, we respect the church. But if I come to the beach and I want to play my music on the beach, I don't want to feel, I don't want y'all looking at me like, y'all can't see we keep in church. Mm-hmm. The beach is the beach. Mm-hmm. This is a tough one because everybody needs to have access to the beach.
And can I swim next to you whilst you ducking people that need the water?
Right, and are you going to tell me that I'm inappropriate in my swimwear because you're all trying to do baptismals in the beach?
But I don't think they should have it there as a permanent thing. I mean, it's open for everybody. But if they want to have a little baptism, I think they can. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're going to set up a permanent thing to the beach, that's a little kind of different, you know?
Yeah, and you know, you're not authorized to have permanent structures on the beach. You're supposed to be a temporary vendor. And when you're done with the day, there should be no evidence of your presence.
It's God's beach.
We got a caller. Good morning, caller. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 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 You're absolutely right. Yeah. It's regular. In fact, ma'am, there are a number of government offices and agencies that set their own time schedule. They close when they want. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's... Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you very much, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It should not be happening. In fact, yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Absolutely. This is not the only space within which there seems to be an issue. I don't know if the industrial unrest, right? Like the unrest at the industrial level, mm-hmm. has been happening for so long that protest has now become policy.
But this is not the first time I've heard about this particular thing, like the lady would explain what's happening, right? I think what takes place is a lot of time people do these, the practices these persons are continually conducting without proper supervision. You close at 4 o'clock, but you really shut down at 3:30 because you decide that you want to be out of the door way before 4 o'clock. It's like, you know, this is a practice that should be looked at.
Now, in some instances, would we know that some agencies close early because they have mold in the building, right? And a compromise has been made where we are only working for a limited amount of time and they have shifts. But you see, this is this whole charity versus structural reform thing. Fix the building.
No, beyond that, what you said with the road works, you said that they should have some level of notice where the people would know what we are faced with.
Absolutely.
Rather than going to the place and knowing, finding out that these are something that you're all coming up with as you come along with it.
Absolutely.
When taxpayers should never go through that. What do you think, CA?
I agree with you.
Yeah, man, I agree. Let's go to this caller quickly, and then I got some more texts to close out the hour. Mr. Nure, I think I may try to spend 10 more minutes with you on the other side. Good morning, caller. Boy, that's all you had to say, Sparky. Thank you. Thank you, Sparky. You hear the music. You made the point. The point was made. Texas, I can get to the text on the other side of the hour. As we close out this hour, I want to remind you guys that today is World Menopause Day. And tonight at the Diplomat Center, Patrice Lockhart is hosting a session for World Menopause Day. It is, I think, 7 to 9 p.m. The Diplomat Center at BFM. Take a friend. Take your Grammy. Take your auntie. Take your grandfather. Because he may be under heavy pressure right now and don't know why. Anyway, we're at the end of this hour. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
It's the Battle of the Bra, sponsored by Canoe, and you decide who wins. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so strap on your gloves and join the fight. It's easy. Just download the Canoe app, vote for Mammogram Access Program, the Grand Bahama Cancer Society, or Sister Sister, or go to the Battle of the Bra event page on Facebook and vote. Each vote is just $5. Polls open on October 2nd and close on October 26th. Vote as many times as you want. You can even vote for all three. It's the Battle of the Bra. The winner will be announced on Friday, October 27th at the Pink Lotus Affair at Blair House.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm alright song.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.